some hope, and a few days later it came and she started and whatever, it didn't happen, but I'm thankful. It was devastating to us, but I'm thankful that that experience has sparked something in me that I haven't had for a while, and that's hope. And I'm thankful that it just come by and give me just a little bit of hope to keep going a little bit farther, and I'm thankful for that. But you know, I began to sit there and think about the season that we're in, and that this Christmas season, and the reason that I can have hope in this life is because the Lord came down to this earth and was born and lived a life that was perfect and without sin, and came and died for my sins. And I'm thankful that I can have hope in Jesus when everything in this life, when this world fails me. I'm thankful that I've got a hope in Jesus. I really am. This world can do whatever it wants to me. It can chew me up and spit me out, and that's fine, because I'm thankful that my hope is not in this world and it's not of this world. It's in the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful that the Lord has called me to preach. I really am. There's times when I'd rather crawl under a bench than get up behind the book board and try to preach, but there's also times that I wouldn't take nothing for it, and I won't take nothing for it. I'm thankful for it. There's times where I wish you'd just quit singing and hush so I could get up here and preach, and I know that sounds wrong, but sometimes that's the way we feel within our heart when it just gets to churning on us. But I'm thankful for the song service this morning and every song that was sung. I'm thankful for what I can feel in my heart, and I truly am, and I just want to be a blessing and a help. You know, I began to sit there and think a lot of times when I have to stand and preach, I guess maybe I still get a little nervous, and I sit there and I worry about this and I worry about that, and I find myself, I don't even hear hardly any of the songs that are sung. I barely even enjoy the service, and I just thought, if I can't sit there and enjoy the service with you, then how in the world are you going to enjoy it when I get up here to stand and preach? And I'm thankful for that this morning. I truly am. I'm just thankful this morning. I know it seems like it's a let down on every hand sometimes in this life, but I've got a hope in Jesus, and I'm thankful for that. There's nothing that this world can do to me to take it away from me, and I'm so thankful that my hope is not in this world. I truly am, and I'm going to try to calm down and maybe try to preach to you, but I'm just thankful this morning for the Spirit of God. I'm thankful for all that He's done for me and my family, and I'm thankful for everything that He hasn't done, because long life's way, I wouldn't be standing here preaching the gospel if I hadn't have been through some of the things in this life that I've been through, that I asked the Lord, whether I realized it or not, to let me go through to get my heart right to the place that I needed to be to accept my calling to preach. And I'm thankful for that. I truly am. I'm just thankful this morning. I truly am. And I don't know which way we'll go. I don't know what we might say or do, but we just got a small, simple thought on our heart. And that's all we know what to do, is just to give it to you this morning. But I'm thankful to be here this morning. But if you got your Bibles with you, we're going to read some very familiar scripture. Might read in a couple of places in the 13th chapter. The book of St. Matthew is where we're going to start. And we're just going to read, I guess, maybe till the Lord tells us to stop. We read a lot of places last night and maybe just could set it on this. Couldn't get it off our heart. But this is what we're going to try to read to you, just go from there. But I'm thankful for the Lord. I'm thankful to be here this morning. I truly am. But in the 13th chapter of the book of St. Matthew, it's very familiar scripture, starting about the 24th verse. The Bible says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants had said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until harvest. And in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And that's all we're going to read. I guess maybe right there, going on a little further, I guess maybe in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, starting in the first verse, we'll just read a few verses here, and it says, Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And when and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps And took no oil with them, but the wives took in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go out, go ye out and meet him." Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. After came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, open unto us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." And I believe that's about as far as we feel like reading this morning. Seems like everything that he just got done and read, I guess maybe kind of went along with, I guess maybe what we have upon our heart, I guess. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful when the Lord knows how to work things together, and that, and everything works together for the good of the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. But I've just got a small thought maybe upon our heart this morning that we're going to try to leave with you. And it's a very, I guess, simple message, one that we probably all heard preached many times before. But I'm thankful for the Lord and what he's given us. And I'm thankful that he can take just a small, simple thought, a small, simple message, and it can speak and it can preach volumes to those that are not where they need to be with the Lord. And even to those that are, they can rejoice in it. And I'm thankful. But I guess maybe last night, I guess when Randy asked us if we'd come this way this morning, I guess maybe we kind of knew in our heart that we'd have to go somewhere maybe, but we didn't know exactly where it would be. But I'm thankful the Lord just come by and just gave us this thought, I guess. And I guess if I had to leave a thought with you this morning, it would be that of practice what you preach. And it's something we've heard since we've been a little child. That growing up, and it's something that we've heard preached many times, but that's what the Lord has laid upon our heart here this morning. And I'm thankful we were there yesterday. We've been trying to take lessons and playing the guitar and try to learn and try to be able to play the guitar. And I went back in, I guess, for my lesson yesterday, and he asked me what I've been working on and what I've been playing, and I told him, and I said, my guitar playing suffered a little bit this week because I've been trying to mess around and sing a little bit while I've been playing and trying to put it all together and trying to learn how to do it. And it's difficult to do, I guess. But as I was sitting there, I never would have dreamed he would have said, "Okay, then do it for me." And I was sitting there, and it came out on me, and I made a mess of it, and I had to sit there and try to play and sing in front of somebody that I'd never done it before. And that, it told on me, and it let him know that I wasn't able to do it like he may have thought I was able to do it. But I began to think about that after Randy asked me to come this way, and that if you're going to live one way, if you're going to be one way, if you're going to tell somebody, if you're going to say you can do this and say you can do that, if you're going to live a life before this salt and dying world, you better be able to practice what you preach. And I'm thankful for that. You know, I began to think about that and why it was so difficult for me to play and sing the guitar at the same time, in that because you've got to focus on what comes out of your mouth and focus on what you make come out of the guitar at the same time. And it's difficult, it really is. If you don't know the lyrics of that song through and through, then you've got to focus on reading the lines as you play through. If you don't know how to play that song exactly perfect without messing it up until it's second nature, then you've got to focus on playing every chord and changing it every right time. And I'm thankful that whenever you get to where they become second nature and you don't have to think about one or the other, then it comes out right. And I'm thankful for that. You know, if we'd ever get in these scriptures right here and we'd ever take them and get them to where they become second nature to us, then when we have to live a life before this lost and dying world and something comes up that we have to be able to give an account for, do we have to be able to back it up or show them and prove to them why we believe the way that we believe and why we preach the way that we preach, then we'll be ready when it's second nature unto you. You won't have to take time and stop and worry and figure out what you're going to say and tell them, "Well, I'll get back to you when I figure it out." We ought to know these things as Christians. We ought to be able to practice what we preach like it's second nature. I'm thankful that the Lord come down here and did exactly that. We can practice what we preach if we have the love of the Lord in our heart and we follow the example that he laid for us before us. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that the Lord come down here and lived a perfect life, and none of us in this life forever are going to be able to live a perfect life. There's only one that's ever been able to do it and that will ever be able to do it, and that is Jesus. And he made a way for all men to enter into the kingdom of God, and I'm thankful for that. I truly am. And that if we'd ever just strive to be that way in this life, it'll work. And I'm thankful. But I began to read this scripture, I guess, and I was looking through scriptures, I guess, of practicing what you preach, and there's many a accounts of it in the Bible that tell us how we're supposed to live. He even touched on it. I read Matthew 5 last night. He even read a little bit about it, but I'm thankful that there's many scriptures that tell us, you know. But I began to read the scripture about the tares and the wheat and that. I began to think about that in this life, and how that's where we are in this life. You know, he tells them they want to jump up and they want to rip out the tares and do away with them when they figured out they were there. But I began to look up what a tare was and try to figure it out, I guess, and get a little context. But for a while, those tares will resemble the wheat. They'll be able to, I guess, maybe blend in for a little while in that. You won't be able to tell them apart. And I'm thankful that, you know, I've known some people in this life that have not been saved and not been where they're at with the Lord. And they'll try to come around a group of Christians and they'll try to play the part. They'll try to blend in with the wheat, I guess, so to have it, and so to speak. But when it comes down to the end of this thing, there will be a difference. You'll be able to know exactly where they stand with the Lord. The Lord knows, just like those virgins and that of the lamps, the ones that didn't have their oil, they were too late. They didn't have a way prepared, and it came out on them. And he said that they had to leave and depart from him because he never knew him. And I'm thankful. You can do everything in your power to try to blend in with the wheat all you want to. But when the harvest time comes and when your ticket gets punched, when it's your time to leave this earth, there will be a difference. You will not be able to hide it. The Lord knows exactly who he is. He's got the whole world in the palm of his hands, just like the little children's song. But folks, that children's song speaks volumes, and I'm thankful that it's something so simple that we can all understand. But if you're not in the palm of his hand, then you will not make it into heaven, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that there was a time that come when the Lord let me know that I was lost. I made the preparations. I had the oil in my lamp, and I was able to come in and join the kingdom of God, and I'm thankful for that. I truly am. But, you know, I just began to think about that. You know, they wanted, I guess maybe in their heart, to do the right thing. They wanted to be able to run out and rip all up all the tares and get them out of there. But they said not to do it because in the process, you'll rip the wheat up with it and that, and there'll be no good come from it. Folks, we've got to live in this life as Christians. We've got to dwell with those that are lost, and we've got to dwell with those that, even the ones the devil has sowed in our life, we've got to be a part of this world while we're down here on this side. But I'm thankful that we can live a life in front of, and we've got to live with them, and we can't just, I guess, maybe cast them out and have nothing to do with them, because we can't be a light unto them, folks. We've got to find a way, I guess, as Christians, to get out of our comfort zone, quit thinking that all we got to do is come within the four walls of this church every time the door's open, and come in here and say amen, try to synchronize your amens with a person sitting beside you so it sounds good. Get out of all those things that make you feel comfortable and realize that we're living in this world with the ones that are lost, just like the ones that are saved, and it's our part to be a light unto them. And I think a lot of times, I guess, as Christians, we get comfortable where we're at. We need to get uncomfortable in this world. We're not of this world. We're not supposed to be a part of this world. It's supposed to be uncomfortable to us because our home is in heaven, and that we should do everything we can to be around those that are lost, to live a life in front of them that lets them look upon us and see that we've got something that they don't have, and that they can do. That we can just show them that there's a better way, and that they can come to the Lord and be saved. I can't save my family. I've got those in my family, my friends that are close to me that are lost. There's nothing that I can do to save them. They're not. And there's some that are close to me, and that of my family and my friends, that try to act like these tares, I guess, and try to blend in, folks. But I can't do it for them. I can't get them in. The only way that they're ever going to get into heaven is to realize where they're at, and that they're lost and undone without the Lord. And I'm so thankful for that this morning. I truly am. I'm thankful for that. I am. I'm thankful that I'm not a tear anymore, you know. They used to use that, I guess, if any of them made their way into the weed, it was bitter and it was harmful to them, and that. So they had to be cast out and done away with. But I'm thankful that they done it the right way. You know, I was trying to sit there, I guess, maybe and decipher or whatever the parable and ask the Lord to show me, I guess, you know, but you flip right across the page right here and he explains it. He answered and said unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send his angels And they shall gather out his kingdom, all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea, and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to the shore, and sat down, and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels come forth, and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them out into the furnace of fire. There shall be gnashing and wailing of teeth. And you know, I'm thankful for that. I truly am. You know, I'm thankful that I just began to think, you know, I read last night, I guess maybe about the rich young ruler and that and all, and he wasn't willing to give that all that he had. But you know, I'm thankful a lot of this in this world. I know when I was lost myself, I began to think about all that I had to stop doing and all that I'd have to give away and all that I have to give up and everything. And folks, I'm just going to be plain honest with you. You're going to have to get to the place where you're willing to give everything that you have up for the Lord. And that's the place that I had to get to. And it's a scary place to get to when you're willing to give everything that you've got up so that you can come to know the Lord and be saved. And folks, I'm so thankful that I gained more than I ever thought that I would lose when I found the Lord. You've got to be willing to be done with the world. Be done with those that are around you that might be naysayers and whatever. They might call you crazy. They might call you names. They might do away with you, whatever. You've got to be willing to lose everything to gain everything. And I'm thankful that when I met the Lord, I gained everything. And I'm so thankful, not only just in heaven, I've gained some stuff along the way in this life too. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the relationships that I have that I didn't have before. I thought I had everything in this world, but I didn't have anything, you know. And I'm thankful that everything that I thought I had really wasn't that much anyway. And I'm thankful that the Lord has got so much more in store for us than we could ever think we have in this flesh. And I'm thankful for that. I really am. You know, I've took it for granted a few times along life's way, and I'd be willing to believe that if we had to take a vote, everyone in here probably has too. But I'm thankful for the times that the Lord has just let me get everything out of the way and fully just sup with him and just spend some time with him. And I'm thankful for that. Not me asking him for this or him asking me to do this or whatever, but just spending some time with the Lord. And there's no other thing like it in this world. I'm so thankful for it. I truly am. I'm thankful to be here this morning. I truly am. I'm just thankful for the little small, I guess, maybe thoughts the Lord comes by and gives us. And if we practice what we preach, it'll work in this life. It truly will. There's been times that I've maybe cracked a joke or maybe said something or done something in front of somebody that was lost. That's probably made them question how I could say or do something like that, being a preacher or being a saved person. You know, I need to do better about that. I truly do. And I'm thankful that the Lord is merciful with us. And I'm thankful that he has mercy upon us. And I'm thankful that I don't have to live this life without the Lord. I'm thankful for the Comforter, like it was made mention of earlier. I truly am. I went through a lot of stuff, I guess, there maybe before I got saved. There was a lot that happened, and my grandfather had just passed away, and I was bitter, I guess, maybe against the Lord. And he had passed away, and it was a couple years later. And I remember, I guess, the week I got saved, we were in revival there at Stoner's, the summer revival, and they were having morning service. And I was still in college and wasn't working every single day, so I had some time to go with Mal. And we were laughing on the way up here this morning about all the excuses I used to give her about not going to church. And I'd always tell her that I didn't have any pants clean, I didn't have this and whatever, and I really just didn't want to go. But I made every excuse I could to get her off my back. And I remember 2 days before I got saved, they were in revival there. And it was one of those revivals where I guess maybe the services is let out kind of the same time every night. And I remember that Wednesday night we were supposed to, that she was done supposed to be out of church, and she hadn't texted me or called me. And I remember sitting there thinking that there's no way she's still in church. She's done been out the past two nights. She's already been out, whatever. And I remember thinking she's running around doing whatever. So I got in the car that night and I drove. And I went by the church to see if they were still in there, and they were all still in there. There was nobody outside. They were still in the service. And that night, when I drove by that church, she was in the altar praying for my soul because she wanted me to be saved. And I'm so thankful that it broke me there, then and there. And I realized where I needed to be, that my heart wasn't in the right place. And I'm thankful 2 days later in that morning service, I got saved and I gave my heart to the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. I truly am. And if you're here and you've been praying for somebody that's lost or somebody that you want to draw ever closer back unto the Lord, don't give up and keep praying for him. She prayed for me for 7 years while we were together for me to get my heart right, and I finally did, and I'm so thankful for her willingness just to trust the Lord. I gave her plenty of opportunities and reasons, I guess, maybe to break up with me and leave me along the way, but I'm thankful that she loved me enough and trusted the Lord enough, and I was able to get saved, and I'm thankful for that. She didn't save my soul, but she sure did have a part in it, and I'm thankful that she had a hand in it. I truly am, and I really am, and I just have a desire, I guess, maybe to see those that are lost be saved, because it's been the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life, and it truly has, and I wouldn't take anything for it. I really wouldn't. I feel like the least among you. I still feel like I don't deserve to be up here, and I hope and pray I never feel like I do. Because if we'll ever just stay humble and practice what we preach, stay in this book, and stay with the Lord, then we can help somebody else along the way. We truly can. And if you think you can't, then ask my wife. She'll tell you. She had a hand in me being saved, and I'm thankful for that. And it don't take much. The morning that I got saved, there's a woman there at Saunders that never speaks a word. One of the most humble women you'll ever meet, but she don't talk a lot. She don't really testify a lot. But she got up and testified that morning out of the blue and said exactly what I needed to hear for me to get where I needed to get to come to meet the Lord. So just trust the Lord and practice what you preach, no matter how big or small it might be, and it'll work. But that's about as far as I feel like going this morning. I don't want to put myself in it. Don't want to go any further than I'm supposed to. But I have thoroughly enjoyed being here this morning. And it's my humble desire that if the Lord has spoke to your heart this morning, there's no denying that the Spirit of the Lord has been here with us this morning. And if you can't feel it within your heart, then forget about what everybody else in here might think and come and make your heart right with the Lord. Because I promise you, they ain't thinking what you think they're going to be thinking. They'll pray with you, and they'll pray for you. They truly will. If you want to get a verse of a song or close out however you see fit.